Welcome back. This is Mark Steiner, and we've had these folks on our show numerous times before. We have them on now again. The intersection, I mean, a disclaimer, for all honesty out there, I'd like to know, I'm on the board of the intersection, which is not why they're here, because we have all kinds of groups in here working with and groups of young people who are advocates for change in our community on the show. But I am a member of their board, so I'd say that up front so you know that. Like that. A full honesty and disclosure is important in all levels of life, whether our politicians think so or not. We're here with Zeke Berzoff-Cohen, who is co-executive director of The Intersection, and Brianna Rogers, who's a senior at Ace High School here in Baltimore, who's a member of Intersection. And welcome. Good to have you both here.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mark.
Why are you here? Who wants to start? Should we let this man start first? Go ahead. Zeke.
So I guess we're here to talk about our community conversation, which is coming up on this Friday at Baltimore Freedom Academy at 5:30. And I thought I'd just let Brianna tell you a little bit about what it is and what we're trying to do. But first, I have to just acknowledge that a lot of the efforts behind it were put together by Yasmin Mumbi, my co-executive director, who couldn't be here tonight, as well as our staff. But I just had to get that in there. But I was hoping Brianna could tell you all a little bit about what we're doing.
Okay, so the community conversation that is going to take place on this Friday is basically an opportunity for the entire community, parents, students, political leaders, teachers, to come together and share their experiences and their opinions on the issues that we face every day in the Baltimore, you know, city school system.
Go ahead. What will you be doing there?
So I'll be emceeing. So, you know, kind of just, you know, coasting along and just
keeping it moving.
Yeah.
So where will it be?
At the Baltimore Freedom Academy,
mm-hmm. on Lumbert Street.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So who's attending this? Who's going to be at this? Let's start with that.
So we've got a number of our city council people coming. We've got a number of state senators and delegates coming. We expect a crowd of between 100 and 250 people. And like Brianna said, I think it's an opportunity for us to really open up a conversation. And I think the idea behind the community conversation is that many of our communities in Baltimore are largely ignored in our political discourse. And in order to make this city great, we believe that we need all our communities to be represented and to be part of the conversation. Just to be really honest, I think that our political officials find it very easy to ignore kids and parents from poor communities. And as a result, poor people's priorities aren't always reflected in our public policies. I think it's no coincidence that we're currently considering building a brand new $100 million jail for kids to be tried as adults, but we can't find $300,000 to maintain our own rec centers. You know, how can we talk about having high expectations for our kids when we're willing to spend exorbitantly on incarcerating them, but we spend so little on programs that would keep them from being incarcerated? And that's really what this conversation is about talking about our priorities. You know, I'm sitting next to an amazing student and human being, Brianna Rogers, who's been to 17 different schools throughout her school career.
17?
Yeah.
17. And next fall, she's going to be attending Hampton University.
In Virginia.
Mm-hmm. And we're extremely proud of her, and she's clearly exceptional, but she shouldn't be the exception. We should expect all our kids from Baltimore to go to college and graduate, not just a handful, and that's not really what's happening right now.
So now, 17 schools?
Yeah.
Tell us that story.
I'm just coming from a one-parent household, five other siblings, you know, the youngest four, you know, are basically, you know, babies, and, you know, just, you know, coming from a pretty much unstable family where, you know, we moved around a lot, you know, we relocated, you know, constantly, you know, which resulted in, you know, me attending 17 different schools, and, you know, it was you know, pretty hard, you know, keeping up. You know, it's hard keeping up alone, just, you know, in the public school system, you know, even if I stayed at, you know, one school. So just to, you know, keep transferring and relocating.
So what do you want to come out of this conversation? What do you want to see happen when you're in dialogue with elected political leaders as high school students, as young citizens of the city? What are you looking for?
So basically, I just hope that the outcome of this conversation is for everybody to leave more, not only more educated on the issue itself, not just, you know, about the facts. I mean, we know the facts. We live the facts every day. But more so about the, you know, just the different, you know, experience that everyone has had as far as, you know, these issues are concerned and their different opinions and understanding, you know, the different sides. You know, we as, you know, minorities and, you know, students coming from, you know, low-income families, we really rarely, you know, do we have the opportunity to, you know, even speak, you know, about these issues or share our experiences or, you know, how we feel, you know, and rarely do, you know, we have the chance to do that. So, you know, this is just a great opportunity because, yes, you know, the elected, you know, officials or political leaders, yes, this is their responsibility and, you know, this is, you know, their job to, you know, find the solution to these problems. But, you know, we have to hold them accountable. And they're only going to put out, they're only going to put out as much as we put in.
So, I mean, who can come to this thing? Who is going to, I mean, what happens there? I mean, so students are going to be talking to politicians, but why would I want to come?
Sure. So, first of all, you'd want to come because we're going to be premiering this audio documentary that some of our students created about.
Should have brought it with you today to play.
Yeah, I'll bring it in. You will get a copy.
Well, we should have played it today.
Yeah, you're right. It'll be on the Mark Steiner Show soon enough. But it was sort of we were asked by the ACLU of Maryland to get involved with their Transform Baltimore campaign to reinvest in our school facilities. And as part of that, some of our students decided to create this audio documentary about the state, the physical state of Baltimore City Public Schools. So they went about interviewing teachers and parents and students and some of our elected officials and psychologists and a professor who's done research on school buildings. And they put together this amazing 8-minute audio documentary. And so we're going to be premiering that. In addition, we're going to have a few of our students speak specifically about their own issues. We'll have a teacher speak about teaching in Baltimore City. And then we'll break up into small groups, you know, 10 to 15 with one elected official and really have some small conversations and hopefully really flesh out what are the issues facing our kids and how can we do better by them.
So and do people get a chance to participate in this when they come? Citizens can ask questions and be part of this.
Yes.
How's that going to work?
So in the small groups, it's wide open, and anyone can participate. Anyone can come. We'll have a number of students there. We'll have some teachers that we've been working with to organize in their schools. But it's open to the public, and we'd love to have everyone out there.
So I'm curious, you know, when we talk about these kind of dialogues, I mean, what we expect to come out of talking to city councilmen and some say senators and delegates. I mean, really, what do you want to see come out of this at the end of the day? I mean, what are the issues that are the most important to you? What are you holding deeply as the issues you think need to be addressed?
Well, number one is the school facilities, you know, itself. The ACLU has, you know, done research and, you know, found out that 70% of the schools in Baltimore are in poor condition. And, you know, this issue is so important to me because, you know, basically the conditions of the school affects their learning environment. And me, you know, attending, you know, a few different schools, you know, I can say a lot of our schools, to be honest, they look like jails. So,
I want you to really describe that for a minute, what that means. But pick any school in your mind that you remember being in your having been pulled from school to school, and describe the condition you're talking about, if you can.
Booker T. Washington Middle School.
Okay, tell us about it.
Just the, we want to talk about
walk us down the hallway. Walk us down the hallway and tell us what you see.
Okay, you see classrooms, but if you go into the classrooms, you know, the windows, you know, some of them are closed shut. You can't even open them, and some of them won't stay open. You can't even see in and out. No air conditioning, you know, no heating, you know. I should say poor, you know, systems like that. Let's see, school lunches, you know.
What about the school lunches?
I mean, come on, they put pink slime in our meat. Like, who wants to eat that? Like, you know, and, you know, this is what I mean by, you know, just who would be, you know, passionate about going to school, about learning, if, you know, you don't even want to walk into this building? There's nothing attractive about it, you know. It's, yeah.
No, I hear you. I mean, there was you know, we've talked with the idea of Transform Baltimore on this program, and the whole idea of being able to leverage state money and city money to get $1.2 billion to rehab our schools didn't go anywhere in the state legislature. It didn't happen. They're going to study it for another year. But so are those kind of the issues you're going to be talking about with these representatives?
Yeah. I mean, currently, I think where that's at is the the ACLU and the entire Transform campaign has been pushing for the bottle tax, which would be a 3-cent increase on the tax on bottles in the city from 2 to 5 cents. And I think that right now it's stuck in committee, and it's Carl Stokes's committee, and he's actually going to be at our forum. And we know that the money that would be raised from this bottle tax is sort of a first step toward being able to leverage a significant amount of money from the state. I think in Alonzo's plan, it was $1.2 billion that they're looking to leverage. And I think that in order for our delegates and our senators in Annapolis to really know that we're serious as a city about fixing our schools, the first step for us is to pass this tax and is to really rally our own city delegation, rally our kids, rally our citizens behind the Transform Baltimore campaign. So, yeah, this is the kind of issue we want to really dig into in our community conversation.
So can you tell us who's going to be – what politicians have agreed to be there? I'm curious who said yes to this and who actually said yes to actually having dialogue with the young citizens and future voters. You probably can vote in this next election, can't you?
Yep.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
We've got City Council President Bernard C. Jack Young is going to be there, Councilman Stokes, Councilman Nick Mosby, Councilman Brandon Scott, Senator Lisa Gladden, Senator Bill Ferguson, Delegate Luke Clippinger, Delegate Melvin Stooks, Delegate Keith Haynes, Delegate Sandy Rosenberg, and Delegate Mary Washington have all agreed to come.
And so, again, what do you want these politicians to walk away with? What do you want them to walk away with?
We want them to walk away knowing that we as a community are serious about these issues, these things that we have to endure every day. We want them to know that we are serious about it and that we need them to do their job and to, you know, fix these problems. I mean, just...
And I think that one of the things that I was thinking about as you were just speaking, Brianna, is that... Now, I've met a lot of the young people who are part of the intersection. And a lot of young people have stories that are similar to yours and some even more, what am I looking for? I've come from harsher, even tougher conditions than the one you came through, and you came through a tough one yourself, and that you have found a way to, as a group of young people who have either not had parents or lived in the worst drug-infested neighborhoods or whatever the situation was people came through, to find a voice here, to find a way to be able to articulate that voice and put your ideas out. I think this is...
Which I'm still learning.
You're doing really well at it. No. Look, you know, I mean, it's not easy to be 17 years old and coming out and doing the things that you're doing. I think that's so. And how many of you will be there? How many young people from the intersection will be doing this?
I think we'll have... 13 from the intersection, but a number of students from different schools. Like I said, we've been working with this group of teachers that's been really organizing within their own school communities, trying to bring out parents, trying to bring out students, because we want this to be a real community conversation. And we know that it can't just be, you know, West Baltimore, East Baltimore. It can't be anything like that. It's got to be all of our schools, all of our students, all these different voices at the table, really trying to speak truth to power. And that's what Brianna has been able to do so eloquently today and at our mayoral forum and, you know, continues to do.
So, again, time, place, how do folks get there?
So Baltimore Freedom Academy, 1601 East Lombard. It's on the corner of Lombard and Caroline Street. It's going to start at 5:30. We're going to have a nice meal that's catered by Whole Foods. And
5:30 on Friday afternoon.
That's correct.
Right.
This Friday, April 27th. You know, come one, come all. We'd love to have as many people as possible. We think it's going to be great. And, you know, we're excited. We're yep. We're jumping up and down.
And so from 5:30 to when?
7:30.
All right. So I encourage folks to do this, to come join all these young people at the intersection, some of our elected officials here from the city of Baltimore. Your voice can also be heard. You can hear these young folks in action and see the kind of change force taking place with the young folks from the intersection, our high school students here in Baltimore City. Brianna Johns Rogers as a prime example, a senior at Ace High School. Good to see you, Brianna, always.
Thank you. Nice to see you.
And you'll be hosting Siegfried Yes. Cohen, co-director, co-founder of The Intersection. Good to have you here again.
Always good, Mark.
Folks, be out there. We'll all be out there and support these young people and what they're doing. On the way out of here, I want to remind you that The Mark Steiner Show is made possible by the Maryland Mortgage Program, a community lending initiative of the Maryland Department of Housing and Community Development. 1-800-638-7781 is the number. If you are a first or second time home buyer, there are homes here for you in Baltimore that the Maryland Mortgage Program can help you get. 1-800-638-7781 is the number. The Mark Steiner Show is a production of the Center for Emerging Media. Our producers are Cricket Aronson and Justin Levy. Our assistant producer is Cassandra Monsanto. Our interns are Alexis Seth, Alex Pearson, and Tiffany Means. We're engineered by Regis Tucker. Our theme music is by Walt Matthews of Clean Cuts. To hear this show again, podcast any of our past shows, find out information about our guests and the work that they do, go. Their links will be on our website at steinershow.org. And for public radio, WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community, I'm Mark Steiner. Take care.